And we are doing our series on 1 John, and I have chapter 2, and I'm going to be looking at verses 3 to 6. So not a lot of verses, but whoa, do they say a lot. So let's get into it. Let's have a look, shall we? So this is from the New Living Translation. It says, "And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. If someone claims, 'I know God,' but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." So I want to unpack this a little bit, because even though it's only, what, 4 verses, there is a lot going on here. And some of it on the surface is quite hard to hear, I think. So the first verse, verse 3 here is, "And we can be sure that we know him," him being Jesus, God, "that we can know God if we obey his commands." And there's a word in this translation which straight away I think can really stick with us, depending on how you view this word, and that is the word obey. For some people, the word obey is a word of actual kind of comfort, because it's about, here's the boundaries, here's the rules, I can follow that, I'm comfortable with that. For other people, it can be quite a harsh word, a word that kind of means doing what you're told, doing things that maybe you don't think are right. And I think sometimes we can often see this word and be worried about, does this mean that we have to do something that we don't want? Is this going to lead to conflict? But throughout scripture, we see that actually God calls on us often to obey him. Jeremiah tells us that to love God is to obey him. And Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23 says, "But this is what I commanded them, saying, 'Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And you will walk in the way which I command you, that it may be well with you.'" Jesus talked about commandments. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." So we've got Jeremiah saying that you need to follow God, you need to obey his voice. God handed down the Ten Commandments through Moses, and then another 600 plus other rules and laws for the Jewish people to follow, to show the world that Yahweh was their God and that they were his people. Jesus comes later on and he says that if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So Jesus didn't come to do away with all that had been before. Jesus comes to say, actually, the commandments of God, they still very much stand. I've come to fulfill them. Not everything will be as it was, but there are still things I'm asking you to do. To love one another is one of the biggest commandments we see. But also in John 14, 23, he says, "Anyone who loves me," this is Jesus speaking, "anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them." So this idea of obeying God is not a new thing. It's been around since the beginning. It's been throughout the Old Testament. And Jesus also regularly refers to following his teaching, following his commandments, and obeying him. So this verse, although it can be quite hard, the idea of obeying God's commandments, John is pointing out there, he says, look, guys, this is just a given. This is, you know, we can be sure that we know God, that we follow Jesus if we obey his commandments. We are showing people that we know him because we are choosing, not being forced to, but choosing to obey the teachings and the commandments he's given us. We are trying to be like Jesus. And that shows other people that we know him because we're trying to be like him. So then verse 4 goes on to say, if someone claims, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. My first reaction when I took this in was, whoa, that's harsh. Like, if you don't obey him, then you're lying, because you're saying you know him, but you don't obey him. So you're lying. It's like, that's quite harsh words, isn't it? Again, today, that's something that'd be very new. Imagine saying to someone in church, "Are you obeying God? Do you know Jesus?" "Yes, I do." "Well, are you obeying all his commandments?" "Oh, well, I am struggling a little bit." "Well, then you're a liar because you don't know God." That just doesn't seem to sit right. And I think verse 4 on its own is only half a story, because it says, if someone claims, "I know God," but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. Verse 5 says, but those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. And that is how we know we are living in him. I think the two go together. You can't say, I'm a follower of Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, yeah, he was great. I know all about him, his teachings. And I look to live my life, but actually I don't do anything that he's asked me to do. I don't follow any of the teachings of the commandments. I haven't chosen to change my life in any way, shape or form. Then John is basically calling you out and saying, well, how can you say then that you know him if you're not willing to do anything in your life to follow his teaching and commandments? But for those who do obey, who do follow the commandments and teachings, who want to change their life and start to reflect God more, then that shows that they love God, but also that God is living within them. See, God has such great love for us, such amazing things, that when we start to understand that, when we start to grasp that, we choose to turn our lives to him. We choose to want to line up with him. Whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. And it's not to say that God will love you more if you obey his commands. It's not like a scale of like God only loves you a little bit if you obey a few commands, and God will love you a lot if you obey. It's saying that actually God's love for us is bigger and wider and than anything we can ever imagine. And when we get that, when we understand that, when we really take on board how much God loves us, all that Jesus has done for us, then actually we start to want to obey him. We start to want to turn our lives and do the things that he's asked us to do. And it's like shows that we truly understand and accept the love of God. That love of God becomes perfected in us. And we know that it's not just like God loves us from afar, but he welcomes us into his family. It's like we take on board truly that love, and our response to that love is to want to obey, to want to turn our lives to his teachings and his commandments, and to reflect him, to love others as Jesus has loved us. And then verse 6 says, whoever claims to live in him, in Jesus, must live as Jesus did. And that's kind of where all this has been heading, isn't it? It's about following, obeying, turning your lives around, changing how you live, seeking to be like Jesus. You can sum it up and paraphrase this way. Whoever claims to live in him, to live as Jesus, must walk as Jesus did, must do the things that Jesus showed us, taught us, commanded us to do. And it's very easy to talk about that. You've heard this saying before, like, do you talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? And Jesus said a lot of good things, but he also did a lot of good things to back up the things he said. And we, as if we are followers of Jesus, we can't just talk a good game. We've got to show what we do. We've got to show that our faith has been put in him, that we understand and recognize his love for us by reflecting him in our lives and seeking to do the things that he's commanded us to do. We have to walk like Jesus. Now, I don't mean sit the sandals on and try and walk across the Marine Lake, although if you manage that, very cool. Make sure people know it was God and not you. But what does that mean to walk like Jesus? Because isn't the whole problem here that it's about, well, you need to obey Jesus' commands, you need to obey the teachings, otherwise you're a liar? But what about when we screw up? What about when we sin? I mean, the Bible says that we all sin, that everyone is a sinner. Romans 3:23, but all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So aren't we all in danger of being, as John says, the liars who claim to know God but don't actually follow him and obey him because we sin? But the first two verses in 1 John 2, which we didn't look at, and I was a little bit sneaky because I was always coming to this point, but if you just look at 3-6, it can seem a little bit like, oh my word, that's impossible. How do I do it? But John cleverly writes a foundation before these verses to explain why and how these verses can be followed. Verses 1 and 2 of 1 John 2 say, he, talking about Jesus, he himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the world. It's like John's laying out right at the start, guys, Jesus has made the sacrifice needed to pay for all sin. So we can seek to change our lives and to obey his commandments. Yes, you're going to screw up. Yes, you're going to get it wrong. You're not going to get every commandment, every teaching right every single time. But Jesus has paid for that. You are forgiven. It is atoned for. You can carry on. It's about a heart attitude of looking to live, seeking to obey God as much as we can, knowing that when we screw up, and it is a when we screw up, Jesus has already forgiven that. He's already dealt with that, not just with our sins, but the whole fallen, sinful world was paid for by Jesus when he died and rose again. And this is how God demonstrates his love for us, the love which when we understand, we want to obey, we want to turn our lives to. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8:38-39 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, yes, we're going to screw up. Yes, we're not going to obey every teacher commandment right every single time. But God's love for us does not change. We cannot do anything to separate us from that love. Sin, that used to be the separating barrier, is no longer. When Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished, the curtain in the temple that separated man from God, the Holy of Holies from the rest of the worshiping temple, it tore in half. It was like God saying, the way is open. The barrier of sin has been removed. My love has overcome. And Psalm 103 verse 12 says that God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Billy Graham, a great evangelist, said that the Bible does not teach that sin is completely eradicated from the Christian in this life, but it does teach that sin shall no longer reign over you. The strength and power of sin have been broken. The Christian now has resources available to live above and beyond this world. And this is what Jesus has done for us. So sin is not the reason to separate us from God anymore. It's not gone. It's still here, but it has been dealt with. It has been paid for. And that doesn't mean, as Paul says elsewhere in Scripture, that we should just keep sinning because it doesn't matter anymore. Because it's back to what John was saying. Are you looking? Are you obeying the commandments? Because if you know God, if you know Jesus, and you understand what he's done for you and what his love has achieved, then you should change your lives to follow him, to live for him, to obey him. Romans 6:17 says, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. We used to be separate from God, no hope, and Jesus came and said, no, that will not stand. I will remove that. And so that you can now turn your hearts. And he asks us, doesn't make us, doesn't force us, but he asks us in response to his love for us to show that we understand and have received his love, that we would give our love back to him and follow him. Obeying Jesus is not something which is about just following a set of rules because you're under some sort of oppressive regime. It's about freedom, freedom from sin, freedom from all the things that would drag us down this world to receive something better, something eternal. So when we read 1 John 2 and we read the full 1 to 6 verses, it paints this amazing picture. It says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. So we walk like Jesus. We follow his commandments, knowing that those commandments are born out of God's love for us. We love one another. We take the love that God has given us and we reflect it. Jesus said that a city on a hill cannot be hidden. We are to let our light shine, the love of God to shine from us and to share it and treat one another as God has asked us to. And we know and we take on board that God loves us. And our response is to give our lives over to Jesus, to say sorry for the things we've done wrong, to receive the forgiveness of our sins bought and paid for by Jesus' death on the cross, and to rise as Jesus was resurrected into a new, eternal and wonderful life, a life full of love from God for us and love for one another. 1 John has some amazing stuff. We're only up to chapter 2, and well, I looked at verses 1 to 6 this time, not 3 to 6. May you take that on board. May you go out and know that you are loved and that Jesus asks you to respond to his love by obeying his teachings and to take that love to the world. Father God, we thank you that you are a God who truly loves us. Jesus, we thank you for the sacrifice you made for us on the cross, that you paid the price and that we can receive your love and your grace. Lord, may you help us to obey your commandments and your teachings. May you transform us to be more like you. And that as we do that, the love of God will be multiplied throughout this earth for your name and your glory. Amen. Amen.